Well, just wanted to welcome everybody. Good to see a couple faces back that I know that were ill. Some that are watching online that I know have reached out to me and said they couldn't make it this morning, but they'll be watching us online. Hey, if you got your Bibles this morning, let's open them up together. If you got some markers in your Bible, you want to go to 1 and 2 Samuel, and you also want to go to the book of John, so we're going to have some fun in there. I want to talk about the Bible this morning. I want to talk about the ins and the outs this morning. I want to talk about all the moving parts about the Bible, how important it is. And this is my very first Bible. It's like a Bible thumper Bible. You know, one of those ones, you know. It's the study Bible. It's heavy. It has all the footnotes, you know, like a little bit of scripture and lots of notes. Because when you're first saved, you're like, you have no idea what I'm doing. I think I paid like $40 or $50 for this like 100 years ago because I'm that old, right? But, you know, this is the Bible. And I remember the first time I read it, I just, in ignorance, I don't know, I didn't go to Sunday school, I didn't get saved, you know, till I was like 20-ish. And so I was just open up, like everybody tells you, read the New Testament. You know, okay, let's go to the New Testament. So Matthew, I just power read the whole thing in 4 months. There was a 4-month study, you could read it, you know, like light speed. I just read it from beginning to end. And all along the way, as I was reading it, every time I read, so it was about 3 or 4 chapters at least a day, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, I took notes in here. So every day, so if I open it up here, I started in February the 14th. That's kind of Valentine's Day. That's kind of a cool day to do it. 2001. I just read, you know, power read a bunch of chapters, and I just wrote down the verse that spoke to me. And so this is like, you know, this is going to get passed down for generation to generation, you know, Pastor Rob's kind of salvation experience here. So that's what I did. And then once I was done that, then I kind of thought to myself, now what? Well, I better read the whole thing. So we started right at the very beginning and power read that in a year. And then I reread the New Testament again. And so the cool thing is that the first time I read it, I had this yellow highlighter. So there's all these yellow marks. And the second time I read it, I had pink. And so it's all pink in there. And then the third time I read the New Testament, it had orange. And so like the most of this thing is all just highlighted. The whole Bible is important, you know, by the end of the time you've done reading it. But I want to show it to you in a way. I want to unpack a few ideas with you, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to put it into practice this morning as we read it, is that to just read it, there's value in that. I'm not saying that there isn't. But then to comprehend it and to put yourself into the story is another layer. And then to kind of pull yourself away from it and see it from God's perspective is another layer. There is multiple layers when you read this. Yes, there's important things to just read it straight through. But there is so much value in pausing and stopping and unpacking it a little bit. So this morning, the Lord orchestrated for us, because I never tell my wife what I'm going to preach on. It's so awesome. So she's like, what are you preaching on this morning? You know, or like kind of get an idea or a feel so she knows what scripture to read out loud. The very first scripture I'm reading is John 1. Come on. You know, and she just read that. So here we go. So John chapter 1, in the beginning, my wife knew what I was going to preach on, right? You know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was or has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So often, again, when we get saved, it's usually we say to people that, you know, read the New Testament, it's good. But typically, you would say in even Gideon's and all these kind of people would say the book of John. The magazine at the back wall, there's a Spark magazine. It goes all over the world, and in it is the book of John. It's a great book to read. So when we read that, we go, yes, that's good. But that's just reading it. But I want to comprehend what I'm reading. I need to imagine what I'm reading. I need to get into the story of what I'm reading. So I want to do that with us. Let's try and force our brains to move. On average, typically, we read from the left side. And to move into more of a story, more of a to dream and imagine, moving kind of force, you got to force to the right side. You got to not just read it like you do everything else. You just kind of read. Because it should be alive. It should be like in living color. It should just come to life as we read it. So let's just read that again. So John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. There's this Word. And the Word, we see again, was with God, and the Word was God. And so the Word, what does that mean? I got to understand. You got to help me kind of picture that, right? You say the Word. Okay, yeah, okay, there's the Word. You know, here's the Word. But what else is it referring to? So let's go. Yes, you're jumping to the end. No cheating. Ron was here already. He's already heard this message. Amen. Here we go. So let's go to Revelation, the very end, and then we'll go to another place. So Revelation chapter 19. So I want to understand. I want to see the word. I want to see it alive. So let's just read it here. So Revelation, there's only one. Oh, I put Revelations right there, but it's only one Revelation. 19:11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages wars. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is what? The Word of God. So when we imagine the Word of God, do you see the imagery here? Can you see it now? Can you kind of picture it? I love this, man. I'm like, somebody should make a movie about it. It's going to be awesome, right? You know, there's this white horse, and there's this guy riding on it. He's got a white rope, and it's dipped in blood, and it's just like, whoosh, you know, it's going to be cool, right? And so when you read John 1, you say, oh, now I can see the Word. I see Jesus dipped in blood, you know, blazing fire. So you kind of get a bit of an imagery there. So let's go back to John. And John gives us this another helpful tool. So John chapter 17, verse 5 says this. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So we see this word. Do you see that coming to life now? We could see it at the very end. We see Jesus is going to come a second time riding a white horse, the word. And we see at the very beginning of time, even from the very, very beginning, before anything was even created, God and Jesus hanging out together. Isn't that just a deep, intense thought? So when you see, when you read again, anytime you find the scripture, the word, you got a bit more context. You see what I'm saying? There's a bit more imagery. You can kind of imagine it. You move again to the right side of the brain. Don't just power read everything. Pause. Imagine it. You got to understand it. You see, not just from left to right. Got to use our whole brains. God gave us a whole brain for a reason. There's many classic books. I'll refer to this one in a moment. But, you know, somebody's lifetime of learning, 40, 60 years, whatever, all of his experiences, all of his thought processes get put into a book. And we call it a classic, don't we? We say, that's a classic. Oh, everybody should have that book on their shelf. And then when we come to this book, like, it's beyond classic because it has the immense ability of all time, all knowledge, all truth collected into one book. I don't know how you go beyond classic. You know what? Classic, you know, like classic two or something, right? So we see just how do we approach, how do we interact with such a powerful book? That's really what I want us to kind of understand. If we were to, say, go to school, because this is a school teaching lesson this morning, you are in college and university this morning, we're taking 101 here, we would take something called hermeneutics so that we would understand and grasp the Word of God and not put our own ideas into it. So when I went to school, I went to Summit Pacific College, hermeneutics, Bible 113C. This is the course that I took. I took this in February 9th of 2010. So that was a lot of years ago. I had not gone to school for 14 years. I was in retail management before that, and I went to school, and the God in his grace gave me an A, and then it goes minus. It doesn't seem right. Oh, I got an A minus. You know, like, ugh, that's not very good. You know, you realize, oh, actually, that was okay. But after 14 years of not going to school, I got an A minus, so I was pretty excited about that. And it was prepared by the late Roger Stronstedt. If you know Summit Pacific College, one of the best theologians that our Western Bible colleges had, Roger Stronstedt, super educated guy. So he prepared this, and in this course guide, he said this about hermeneutics. It's a science in that it applies rules or guidelines to the task of interpretation. We really need to have some guidelines as we approach Scripture. It's the art in that these rules and guidelines are applied with skill and discernment and discrimination. Isn't that an interesting thought, why he would put those three in there? The book that I was required to read for this course, Understanding and Applying the Bible, Robertson McQuillan. Brilliant book. In it, in the preface, it says this: the purpose of this book right here, not the Bible, is to teach ways to interpret, to ensure that we uncover the biblical truth of the text, and to allow it to shape and change our lives. We have to understand the biblical truth of why it was written, not our preconceived interpretation of what it says. It says one thing, and everyone around the globe will find the one thing, and it's the same for all people, all times, everywhere. There's a truth in here, and we have to find it. We can't put our own spin on it. This is so important to us. Without the interpretation of our own thought processes, for a person's presumptions will determine to a large extent how he or she will understand and interpret Scripture. See, you and I come with a pre-downloaded hard drive in us. We come with our own experiences, whether wherever we were born, whether rich or poor, male or female. We kind of come to the thought, when we look at the Word, with a lot of information already there. But what we have to do is turn it off so that we can understand what it's teaching us. That's a difficult thought sometimes. We must know ourselves. We kind of have to understand sometimes people would lean one way or the other. You lean on the idea of like, I love Berkman's. I love personality tests. I've got a color. I'm an animal. I'm a whatever. And then there's some of us that are the opposite. You're like, I'm me. I'm just the way I am. I'm kind of a mixture of all that stuff, and I don't really take those tests. But whatever you spectrum you land on, you are you, and you are very unique. And of all of your experiences will influence your mind so that when you come to read this, there's actually already something going on inside here before you even read the text. Now, I'm the kind of person that grew up really struggling with reading and writing. So when I read word for word. I will find a problem. I will even find in these where there's not something, there's a word missing. Because that's how I read. And some of you just power read. You're just looking for words, blah, 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 and you can just read really quickly. So again, we're very, very different in how we understand the Word of God. So let me look at a story. Let us look at a story together. So if we go into 1 and 2 Samuel, way in the back here, in the Old Testament. And I want to look at a story to begin to understand and unpack an idea of what I'm trying to teach you, so that we can see it from left to right, story, so that we can start unpacking, we can start pulling back layers so it becomes real to us, so it becomes alive to us. So the very first layer is just going from left to right. So if we were to read 1 and 2 Samuel, we see a character in there, and we would just basically read a Bible story. We would see David, there's this guy, he's a shepherd boy. He's picked to be the next king. He's given success in battles. He's given a kingdom. He fills up that kingdom with many wives and concubines. And then there's this twist in the story where he commits adultery. And then this prophet, Nathan, comes to him, confronts him, and then David repents. You know, we see that. That can almost be like a children's storybook, you know, with different images of that. So we see that. We know from beginning to end. If we just read it, you know, linear, left side of our brains. Let's unpack just a bit of the story. I'll try and stay linear and logic to start with. It's so hard, though. I just want to, oh, man, all these words get you all excited, right? So let's go to 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 27. It says, after the time of mourning was over, poor Bathsheba had lost her husband. David had her, had Bathsheba, brought to his house. And she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. I find it so fascinating as you're reading a story, you're like, oh, it's all nice and rosy and everything's happy, happy, happy. All of a sudden, poof, you know, all of a sudden it hits the wall, right? Or hits the fan. You're like, what is going on with this story? It seems like, how can God redeem what's going on? And so we see the story clearly. We'd see, like, we'd look at David and we kind of judge David, don't we? Just see it in a logical sense. David's an idiot. Why would he do that? You think, David has so many wives. He has a kingdom. He's been, you know, taken from a shepherd boy in the field and given everything, everything his heart could desire, but he's not satisfied. He looks out there and goes, look what that person has. You know, whatever that is, I need that. I want that. And he desires that because he's not happy with what he has. So when we read the story, we see the mistake that David made. It seems, again, out of sort for the rest of the story. David commits adultery with Bathsheba. I think Pastor Ben did just a majestic job last week. His title of his message was Knowing This God, and how you had talked about the nation was kind of committing adultery and being separated from God. And I thought, isn't that so fitting to similar with this story, how David separated himself from God really through adultery? Because we're disconnecting ourselves from the Lord because we're desiring something that we don't have. So Nathan has to come to David. He confronts David, and David repents, and we see this in Psalm 51. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but it is a beautiful psalm. Isn't that great? Oh, hey, the Word of God is full of things where people screwed up and messed up, and then God had to confront them, and they confess, and that's why we have Psalm 51. Beautiful! You know, you're thinking, like, the Word of God should be, you know, just the Word of God, not out of something negative or something that was wrong, and we'd have to see somebody confess and repent. We pick this up in Psalm 51. And as you read it, oh my gosh, it comes to life. I'm going to have such a hard time just pausing without Psalm 51. There's just, it's so rich. But in verse 7, we'll just go for a little bit of a test drive here to, you know, learn what we're learning here. Verse 7 of Psalm 51. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Most translations use hyssop. Sometimes use cleanse me of my sin. But here's what it refers to. So when we read that again, when we talked about the word, we kind of unpacked that a bit, didn't we? We kind of imagined the word. Now hyssop, what the heck is hyssop all about? So you could find it all throughout scripture. But when you see it again, I hope it really speaks to you. So go back to Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, Israelites going through all the plagues in Egypt, and it comes to the very last one. And God says to do this in chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animal for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on the sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. So again, reading it just linearly, like just think about that. Okay, so hyssop, you know, blood dipping it in this kind of bucket. It's like painting. You see that? So now you see hyssop, you're like, oh, it's like a paintbrush. It's like this bush that helped paint things. So you're sticking it in the brush, you're sticking it in the pot, and it's saying put it on the door frame. So it says put it at the top first. What's going to happen? It's going to drip down. Then it says, you can see other translations, it says put it on, actually not on each side, but on the left and on the right. Boom! What does that represent? Straight down, left and right. What does that equal? A cross, for crying out loud. So when you see hyssop in the Bible, you know what's happening. The cross of Christ cleanses us. And David is caught up in adultery. He says, oh God, just wash me all over. Paint me all over with your blood so I can be clean in Jesus' name. So you see how fun that is? Instead of just reading the Bible, you stop and you realize, I need to understand what he's saying. So when you get it, when David's saying that, you say, God, I'm dirty all over. You've got to cleanse me from top to bottom, all over, with the cross, with the blood of Christ. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? It's so hard to stay linear in my left side of the brain. I just get, whoo! And there's some of us here that actually have a hard time with left, and that's okay. You're very image-driven. You're very, you know, imaginary. You kind of dream. Then you actually need to come a bit to the left to see the whole story so you don't get caught up in just imagery. You got to have both. God gave us the brain. He gave us both sides of the brain. You got to use both sides of the brain. It's very important. As I share those thoughts with you, something inside of your mind is beginning to peel back layers of truth. So you see this. And you're thinking about other scriptures right now, thinking about other stories right now. Oh, that connected some dots. The word becomes illuminated, It doesn't become more alive because it's always alive. It's whether you're listening to it or not. It's whether you're tuning into it or not. And that's the challenge with hermeneutics, is that we've got to turn our preconceived thoughts and assumptions about the word and see it how God wrote it. Okay, let's try and peel back another layer. I apologize, I go off because I'm like, I can't stay there. I've got to explain it a little bit more, but we'll try and peel back another layer. So the first layer, again, is just left to right. We just see the whole story, little Sunday school story. We peel back another layer, and we actually put ourselves in the story. We kind of walk with David, or let's pretend we're David, and then see how we see it from there. So God picks us and anoints us and pours oil over our heads. We see the story, David. So we see this guy. Okay, he's a shepherd boy, and then this happens in 1 Samuel. It's so important. Again, we've got to understand, God just wasn't like, you know, pick David, this, that happened. This is imagery. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. So Samuel, the anointed person, was coming to anoint the next king, took the horn of oil. Oh, I just want to go off on a tangent so badly. And anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So do you see when God just picked David, do you see what happened there? Like, just, can you imagine, like, you're watching this guy just getting anointed with oil? Like, go have a shower after that experience. You know, wrecked your clothes or whatever. But you can see that. But what happens after that, you're like, David changed. He had the Spirit of God upon him, was anointed. So we can just walk with David through that. We begin to use the right side of our brains again to imagine, to relate, to connect. And then we would see David successful in battle, gets a kingdom, all that kind of stuff. And then just like David, though, he is unsatisfied. Is there any time in your life where you've just been unsatisfied? God's given you everything. He's set you up for success, and we kind of grumble. I don't know, God, I think I just need maybe something a little bit more here. God got us saved. He's forgiven all of our sins. He's washed us clean because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have an eternal destination in heaven. He's prepared a place for you. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the fruits of the Spirit. God gave us, God gave us, God gave us, and we grumble, just like David, and we complain, and we want something more. We want something we don't have. And we can relate to that, can't we? We can say, oh, my selfish attitude, just like David. We put ourselves in the story and you kind of get humbled. You're like, I don't have much to say. Because our first linear thought about reading about David is like, what a bonehead. He had it all. He had a bunch of wives. Who cares about this one wife? Why would he do that? And then we put ourselves in the story and we realize, oh, I'm a bonehead too, just like David. But we see the whole story, right? Because we come to this place of repentance. God brings conviction through the Holy Spirit, and then we confess, we get redeemed, we get cleansed. Hey, I got this other book I didn't bring this morning, still at home. It's called Giving Blood by Leonard Sweet. It's a brilliant book. Oh, it's just been like on fire. Been really enjoying it a lot. So I just want to share a couple thoughts of what he says about this idea. It's so important for us to get this. Again, we read the scripture for the first time from left part of our brains. As we move forward, we begin to study it from the right side. It begins to make sense as we read it again and again and again. Don't ever get tired of reading it. Just keep reading it, because it'll keep showing you more and more of itself, of himself. It was written in a certain way for us to do that. It's not we read through it once, put it on the shelf. It's to be read again and again and again, because it keeps speaking to you. It's alive. It wants to feed you. So often, I think we as individuals, though, like any other book we read in life, is that we just read it from front to back, even a classic. It's a very good story on the shelf. You know, I pull it out every couple, you know, times, you know, over your lifespan. We go to social media. We look at social media. Read it, scroll, read it, scroll, scroll, scroll. And so when we come to the Word of God, we have to stop. You can't do that with the Word of God. You've got to just slow right down. You've got to get into a closet. You've got to get quiet. You've got to put your phone away so it's not buzzing at you, so you can focus on what it's trying to tell you. As we approach it, even in weakness, even in our humanness and our sinfulness, we just approach the Word of God. And God wants to connect with us. We realize how experiential that God is when we kind of unpack it, that he's just always been with us, even in our weakness, even in our sin, just like with David. He didn't give up on David. He stayed with him. We read ourselves into the story. I love this idea. You open up your veins and receive a biblical transfusion where you become part of the story. You know, it's like, get that right in there, you know. You know, you want to get that into your body. So we leave the realm of words again that we read, and we begin to imagine Christ. We begin to imagine the word. It says here in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, Jesus is saying to people, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Prior to that, they were having a really hard time. Okay, linear logic, put yourself in the story, another layer. Let's go like to the furthest layer is when we pull back from the story. We look at the Bible, we see all those stories, get a God's eye perspective of the story. We know the story, let's pull back and see how God sees the story. So important. It's always a bigger plan. It's always bigger than us. You don't read a story and all of a sudden along the way in life and in your story, and all of a sudden God's like, oh my goodness, I did not see that coming. I did not see that sin coming. God's like, oh, now what? How are we going to redeem this? How are we going to make use of this thing? God always has a bigger story in every sin and every mistake that we have. Watch this. This is so important. Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. So we look at the lineage of Jesus. We look at the lineage of God coming on earth. We see here Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. Most of us don't want to read this, do we? So-and-so we got so-and-so. You know, we just like, next chapter. You know, you don't want to read that, but you just read it here. And Jesse, again, the father of King David, and David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Not interesting. I just slipped that in there, right? The lineage of Jesus was used in this gigantic mistake by King David. And he even spells it out in the Bible. He doesn't want to like, oh, shh, shh, shh. That never happened, right? You just want to kind of sweep it under the rug. No, God makes use of it to bring Jesus. So if King David didn't commit adultery, where's Jesus? I mean, God could have done whatever he wanted, but he used it. I'm not encouraging that. Please, in Jesus' name, we better edit that out. But you know what I'm saying? Is that God took it because he knew. He has an overarching perspective. He sees it so much differently. I want to share this couple thoughts with you. In technology right now, some of us are here this morning with listening aids. You have some kind of aid device. Sometimes you just can't hear super well, so you've got one to kind of help with that. Some people actually cannot hear at all. And you would see these, a couple of my very good friends. It looks like a circular piece here, and it comes down to their ears so that they can feed it right into your brain so that you can actually be deaf, but you can actually hear now. It's this wonderful technology. And the voices that you hear in your head, though, for the first time, I was watching some documentaries and some videos on it. They were like, it sounds so robotic because they're just figuring it out. And so you've never heard before, and all of a sudden somebody speaks to you, and you're like, ho, ho, ho. Or you speak, and ho, 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 you've never heard your own voice before. There's this technology out there that's coming, and I think it's a similar thought for us as well, is that when we come to the Word, that there's times when we can't hear it. Doesn't seem like it's alive. But all of a sudden there's times when you tune in and, oh man, it's just so rich, isn't it? And there's a technology that's going to keep coming down that pike with this kind of a thought, is that you'll be able to, like even in your vehicle, in different areas, you can pick the voice. You're like, I want it female. I would like it Spanish. I would like it, you know, you pick whatever kind you like. And I know that technology will be there as well. You'll be able to hear other people's and whatever kind of voice you want to hear it in. Or even your voice. You're like, I would like to have this kind of Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of voice. And that's what you hear in your head as you speak out loud. You know, whatever you want, you could do that. And it's even going to get to a place where if you and I say, like, say you spoke French and I spoke English, we could preset our listening devices. As you speak French to me, I hear it in English in my head. Isn't that just a deep thought about a device? It is the same when you come to the Word. Sometimes, again, you're new, you don't know it, and you think you're reading Swahili. It doesn't make any sense. But as the Holy Spirit enables you and quickens your mind, you begin to hear it. You begin to imagine it. You begin to see it in living color. Isn't that just a great thought? We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to help us to understand. Let me share just one final story with you. Up north in Whitehorse, where Almley and our family spent so many years, we had a third of our church was Filipino, and we had a Filipino retreat, a Tagalog retreat, where we brought in guest speakers. They would speak Tagalog, and so I'd go to these retreats. I got invited. I was so honored and privileged, and over 100 Filipinos. All the food was majestic. Stinky fish for breakfast, garlic rice as well, and all these wonderful delicious food. Cassava cake for dessert. Oh, it's my favorite. And the list goes on and on. You know, I was there for other reasons, but obviously you can tell what was speaking to me. But I'm in these retreats. I'm in the services, and they're speaking their language. They're speaking in Tagalog, and I'm just sitting there. And then people get up and give their testimonies and stuff. So what I'm looking at is foreign. I don't understand what they're saying. I can pick up words, though. I know some of it. So I'm watching body language. You know, is this guy passionate? Or is she passionate about what she's saying? I'm watching tone. You know, how are they? It's so fascinating. I'm watching what the rest of the people are actually doing while they're speaking. I could see who the leaders were in this group because of just the respect that the other people were sharing while an individual was speaking. And so I had the privilege, though, of sitting with somebody, and every so often I'd be, what was that? What did he say over there? And so they would interpret for me. You need an interpreter. You don't need a pastor. You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to help you to interpret what you're reading. And the sooner we grasp that, the better off we're going to be. Because again, there's different places where you're at. When I first got saved, it was very linear again. It was very da-da-da. This did that, and she said, and that happened. That's all I understood. I understood the Sunday school, the book. Then I began to put myself in the story and realize God loves sinners. He loves broken people. Because every story that I read about, there's broken people in here. I can relate to that. And then I get a perspective of a God perspective. That no matter what happens, what I do, God has got it under control. And I need to be able to see and hear it like that. And that God loves me. He wrote this because he wanted to connect with you. He wanted you to see him. Because if we were just to read it logically, we would see what a judgmental, what an angry God. But when we look at it from his perspective, we realize, what a merciful and forgiving and loving God. And that's the kind of God that you and I need to connect with. We need to get other things off the throne, all of our worries, our stresses, putting anything above that and put God where he belongs, right on the very top. And we just look to him and he will give us all of our answers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So let's just close in prayer. Father, how do we even respond to that? To your word, to your truth, to your perspectives in our own logical thinking. So God, we just ask you to just flood us with your Holy Spirit so that we can see and hear and understand and imagine the kind of person that you are. Lord, I pray that as we move forward in this Christmas season, we're going to have time off, we're going to be away from the office, that we would open the word of God in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that we would see you and connect with you in a greater way than we ever have before. Father, as we connect with you and we understand your plans and purposes for us, we're going to be able to connect with others in a greater way. We're going to be able to reach others in a greater way. So thank you for the word of God. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you that we have it as a free gift, as you've given everything to us as a free gift. We honor you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.